Burnout is real. It affects everybody, from people who work at a job too long to parents and caregivers. And we're going to talk about how to deal with it if you are burning out in today's episode of Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro.
What's up, Evan?
And Mike Gesser.
Hey.
Let's talk about burnout. Burnout is real. I know because I've experienced it, and I'm sure you have too. And if you're watching this, I guarantee you at some point in your life, you've experienced burnout. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, burnout can only affect people at work. Nope. Can affect you in all facets of your life, not just a job that maybe you don't really like, but also, and I could talk about this from experience, as a caregiver, sometimes as a parent, even if you don't have extra challenges, you have typical kids, you can burn out from parenting. It's hard every single day. Same thing with pushback from your kids. Even the most well-behaved, most perfect angel kids in the world, there are parents that are like, oh my gosh, I just need a break. This is driving me nuts. And by the way, that's okay. It's perfectly normal. So on today's show, let's discuss burnout, how to handle it, and how to identify. I mean, maybe how to identify it is where we should start. Isaac, Mike, who wants to take this one?
Well, you know what? I'm going to turn it right back onto you, Evan, because I think in episode 3 and kind of our journey while we're here and how I connected back with you with college was finding out that you were no longer at TMZ, sitting with you over our dinner in Santa Monica. It was like, I was just burnt out. And even you said it. So, you know, Mike and I, we would love to tell our story around, hey, we've been burnt out through our 20 something year career at Clean Logic, but we had to keep fighting through it. And how do you get through it? And what's the impact on your employees? But I think where the broader piece that I would love to start with, because this could impact caregiving, but it started with you and our conversation of you at leaving TMZ and trying to find purpose and being burnt out.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I had been working with Harvey Levin for 20 years before I left TMZ. And I think that when you are in a job where it doesn't feel like you can continue growing professionally anymore, which is kind of where I was at, I felt like I had done everything that I needed to do. I grew TMZ from a website into a television show, into three television shows. I'd launched TMZ Sports. I had hosted my show. But then it kind of felt like we had hit a wall. And it felt like I was going to work and just doing the same thing every single day. And other things in my life had grown into bigger priorities, right? With my daughter and my son and my family. And I was getting older and it was just like, I don't want to do this every day for the rest of my life. I was realizing that when I was waking up, I wasn't excited to go to work anymore. And it was just like a one-time thing, like, oh, like I'm having an off day. Like, after a couple months and even a couple years, I was like, this is driving me nuts. Like this is not the long-term solution for me. I feel like I've got to make a change and try something new. And so I identified that by realizing that it wasn't just something that I could change with the way I approached work. It wasn't like, oh, I'll just try to glom onto something that I like and hopefully that'll help me have a better day. It was just like most aspects of going to that job after a while, it was just, I wasn't excited about it anymore. It wasn't inspiring to me. I didn't feel good. It wasn't great. I knew that I needed to make a change. So that was burnout in the professional side.
Well, Evan, can I just ask, because I remember something that really stuck out with me in episode 3 with you was you were waking up with panic attacks and your wife was talking to you. Was this all happening at the same time or was this later?
I think it's part of it, but I think it's separate from burnout, if I'm being honest with you. Burnout and stress, I think, are two different things. I think that burnout is that I just wasn't excited to do the things I was doing anymore. The stress was coming from there were other factors at work and in my outside life that were making me think that the sky was falling and I was, you know, that's what was forcing the panic attacks, is the things that were happening in my life, I wasn't able to kind of put them aside and say, okay, it's okay, we can put that down and pick it up the next day. It was infiltrating my sleep, my peace, and it was causing me to have different effects than burnout. Burnout, I would define as you just feel like you don't have the motivation and energy to continue to give something your best at that moment. And I was burning out of work because it felt like it was so repetitive and I wasn't inspired. I was still doing the best that I could and I was still proud of what I was doing, but I wasn't growing anymore. And so I felt like when you lose that upward trajectory and you just feel like you're treading water, to me that felt like burnout. You know, and that was on the professional side. On the personal side, taking care of a kid with severe disabilities, you can burn out. And what I mean by that is all the things that it takes to care for my daughter, who I love, who's my favorite person in the world, along with my wife and my son. But like, my daughter and I have a special connection. I love her so much. You know, you can just look on our social media. We do everything together. She's a huge part of my life. I love her so much. You get the point. But the routine that goes into caring for somebody that can't really take care of themselves, where it's, I have to pick her up every single day, and, you know, to get out of bed. It's carrying her, it's bathing her, it's feeding her, it's cleaning her, it's everything, doing all of those things for her while also trying to take care of myself and my son and a job. And, you know, also self-care thing is important too. Like, you can burn out. And it's what I guess my point is here is, it's okay to feel that way at times, but you can't let that sink you. You have to figure out a way to get over that and move on, especially when it comes to something like parenting a person that you love. Now, with the job situation, when I felt like I was burning out, it was very easy for me to just say, you know what? I'm burning out. I'm not in love with this job anymore. I'm going to go find a different job. With a child, you can't just be like, I don't like picking you up every single day and bathing, I'm going to find a different child. Like, no, you have to find ways to get over the burnout. And with my daughter, it's easy because I can engage with her and talk with her and figure out ways to try and, you know, remotivate myself, which is easy, but it doesn't take away from the fact that, like, it's hard on me physically to carry her all the time, even with all the things, the resources to try and take some of the stress off of my body. Like, it hurts my body. Like, I get up in the morning and it hurts. And sometimes when I'm not feeling great, to like have to carry this 50 to 70 pound person and lift her, it's hard.
And their gear.
Yeah. And like sitting, like feeding, for example, I have all my breakfast and my dinner with Sydney most nights. I can't remember the last time I had breakfast where I was sitting and just eating and not worried about Sydney. Like, you have to do that. And then also, you know, if you get phone calls from work, you have to field calls and then also feed Sydney and then also feed yourself. And it's the same with dinner also. And that's, again, I'm not bitter that I have to do these things. I love that I get the honor of like caring for my daughter. It's a privilege, but that doesn't mean that like there aren't moments where you feel like you're burning out, that you just need a reprieve, a break.
Yeah. So I'll tell you this. I know exactly what you're saying. I put myself in this position, like, my daughter's 12. There are things that I'm doing with my daughter that I never expected to be doing past the age of 4 or 5, or things like that, that are super repetitive, sometimes physically strenuous. And it's just like, okay, I'm still doing this and it's repetitive over and over and things like that. It what it does, and Evan, you tell me if you feel the same. Sometimes, and this is nothing to do with being a bad dad or anything, it drains gas from the tank. And I think for me, a lot of the things that have been going on, it's not necessarily like total complete burnout, but everything you do takes gas from your tank. And I think obviously when it gets lower, you have less to give and you become, it affects how you interact with people like your wife or your coworkers or your other kids or friends and family. And I think you, for me at least, I've never had a situation where I'm not excited about work. It's about managing the tank, and it's about recognizing the things that, like, putting my kid in her walker or putting my kid in the stair chair. She's 100 pounds. I'm lifting 100 pound human multiple times a day. Yeah. And it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And it's things that I never thought I would be doing.
Your muscles look really good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Rosie's really doing a good job for you.
She's a huge part of that.
Rosie's helping.
That's the thing. Like, one of the main reasons why I concentrate on fitness is so I can lift my kid.
Same.
I'm never expected to be doing, but this is what it is. And so it's things that drain your tank over and over, just being conscious about it. But it's
my question to you is then, like, when your tank gets low, how do you find ways to refill your tank? Because I think that's
important.
The big challenge, and that's the core of our conversation, is like, how do you, when you're low, how do you get the gas back in the tank, man?
I have three things that noticeably make a difference and help me recharge. The first one, interesting one, I like going to Phish concerts. Phish is my favorite band. And every time I go to a Phish concert, it is like, seriously, it is like a reset of like energy that needs to go away. And like, I come back having the time of my life.
I love it.
And it is so...
He's just finally coming out of the closet about his Phish.
I'm a Phish fan. So. But the truth is, like, I go, I love the music, but it is rejuvenating for me and for many people I know, like, better than anything in the world. It is like a judgment-free zone, and you go and dance and just shake. I call it shaking my sillies out, because I have to do that 100%. That's number one. Number two for me is I've recently fallen in love. I'd say not recently, several years, fallen in love with fitness. I love working out. And it's not only because I am able to better take care of my daughter because she's heavier, but it makes me feel good. And like, when I'm able to do that, even if it's just for 30 minutes a day, I feel fantastic. And
I agree.
It's so good for my mind. And the third thing that I do that noticeably makes me put more gas in my tank, I love my work. And I love when I walk into the door at the office every single day and I see all the people, I see blind people, I see people on the spectrum, people in wheelchairs and all this stuff. I walk in and I'm literally blasted in the face with this. And it is so fulfilling and it makes me feel good. And it's just like, it's more gas in the tank. And like, for me, that's how I do it. And I'm conscious about it. So like, I'm always making sure I'm exercising. I don't love working from home. I love working in my office because that gives me more energy. And every time Phish goes on tour, I'm going to see as many shows as I possibly can.
Isaac is champing at the bit to get in here. So that is our tease. When we come back from this break, we're going to hear what Isaac has to say. He's dying to get it out. When we come back on Driven by Purpose. All right, welcome back to Driven by Purpose. I'm Evan, along with Isaac and Mike. And Isaac, we're dying to hear what you have to say, man. You were chomping at the bit to talk when Mike was bringing up how to refill your tank. We're talking about burnout here on the show. Mike was saying your tank gets low. How do you fill it back up? He gave some ideas. Isaac, let's hear what your thoughts on this.
I'm a big analogy of the tank because I think that's how you measure the burnout. And I think why this is an important topic for me, just being out in business, being the guy that's out traveling, I've met a lot of people in corporate America that are frankly burnt out, that have been with companies for 20, 30 years, and they don't have a sense of purpose. And I think what's important for me in our Driven by Purpose show is like, this is the actual time where you could be self-evaluating and really, how do you find that purpose? And so I think, Mike, you know, when we go back into, you know, we talked about caregivers, you know, I'd love to get your perspective and use your tank because we're entrepreneurs. I think you and I can define, we've been burnt out, but we've had a battle through it. Sounds like the same similar thing with kids. But when I'm thinking about, again, our business audience and, you know, I hear a lot about burnout, where have you been with burnout, because we're not quitting, we're not changing up Clean Logic. We got to work through it. So talk to me about your burnout on the business side, because I don't think we talk about it enough internally, but I think you and I can look back and say we were burnt out at that time.
Yeah. 100%. I think in the early years, I think we're from a different generation, and this is not an excuse, but I think we're from a different generation where, like, we just work and we do what we need to do. And for me, I loved the early days of building this business. And I would say to myself, and I remember this, I would say to myself, you don't have the option to stop. You don't have the option to take time off, or you don't have the option to quit. And I didn't want to. And we would just go and go and go and go. And I was, for years, probably running on fumes. And, but I loved it. So I never had the, like, I can't do this anymore mentality. But I think what surfaced that I'd say recently is now I'm able and I feel comfortable to truly refill my tank. I think for me, there was so many things that we needed to do and get done. And fortunately, it wasn't like it didn't drain me completely and have devastating consequences. I could do it. My wife paid the consequences, though, or my kids paid the consequences. And thank God they were so supportive of my desire to do what I do and my dedication to doing what I do. But now, like, when I have burnout, it's okay. I can take a day off, or I can go on vacation, or I can be with my family, or I can go on the beach. And I have no shame in needing to do that. In fact, I am a very big proponent of telling my team, anybody on my team, if you need time, you take your time. Business will be here. We'll get done what we need to get done, but we can't do anything unless their tank is full or my tank is full. But for me, like, I wasn't comfortable then. I also didn't have the need to do it. But now I realize the damage that's done to other aspects of my life, that it's not, I'm not willing to keep sitting on that or forcing myself not to take care of myself or my family, because there can be devastating consequences if you don't. That makes sense.
You know, I think it speaks loud to me. We had a speaker in Vistage the last month talk about burnout, and I can't wait to bring him on the show to talk about the tanks and the things that you could do and avoid it, and even how it starts at a young age and how it continues to fester. So I'm really excited to bring him on, but I think that's an important thing to understand.
Burnout starts at a young age?
He's going to talk to you about
burnt out when you're 10, like, and you're like, your whole life is like, go to school and play, and then go to baseball practice and play, and go to music.
But it
and can play.
Be, but it starts with this. I don't want to take the thunder of this gentleman, because
for sure,
you know,
he talked
a lot about it from a subconscious standpoint. Yeah, things right. that we put pressure on ourselves that we're taught by our parents on different things. So, but I think, Mike, what is important is really understanding the tank. And I think that's an important in the business side, because unfortunately with, you know, stock market hitting numbers, everybody's driving and people aren't slowing down. They're not being able to be there for their family. And I think even just the little thing of just working out, like, I don't work out. I've been working out since we started the business, not to be healthy, but because it's just been a stress reliever. And honestly, sometimes I'm thankful that I'm still here, because we were driving so hard, and I look back and I'm like, man, I'm lucky I didn't have a heart attack, you know. But
yeah,
when I look back, that was probably the burnout that I was feeling. And that's why, Evan, I know you'd said stress and burnout are different. I feel stress can lead to burnout, because I feel like when you're an entrepreneur, you're just always heightened up with stress. They're always worried. So I think, how do you control the tank? And part of that input is, what can you do to prevent the stress that comes in that leads to burnout? Because again, I think burnout shows up to everybody in a different way.
Everybody for me, you can only talk from my personal experience, but, like, again, my stress and my burnout were different. You know, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying for me, it was not one and the same. It was two different things. And I hear you. Like, I had the ability to change, you know, when I felt burnout, I had the ability to change, to make a huge change and to change it up. When you're running a company and all these people are depending on you, you can't just do the same thing. So I feel like figuring out these tricks. And for me, like, and I think it's a little different, even in our situations, Mike, like I was just having a conversation with my wife about this the other day about how, and my therapist too, about how there are probably times where I need to step away and just kind of like from my, just take a vacation or something like that. Yeah. But I feel like I can't. And the reason I feel like I can't, and maybe this connects to other people listening, is I feel like if I leave, like for example, I had a friend who had a bachelor party, a really, really close friend. And I couldn't go, I chose not to go. And the reason I chose not to go is because if I leave my house, the burden of doing all of these things in my home, which are hard things to do, falls on other people.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I have to weigh every single time, is it worth it to put all this stress on other people to pick up for where I leave off, right? And so even though going on that trip may have been good for me and a way for me to refill my tank in a way and revitalize me a little bit, I felt like I couldn't step away because it was gonna make life harder for other people. And that's the internal battle that I'm dealing with.
But Evan, I know that feeling because Mike and I used to joke about me, like I'm gonna be the dad that's on vacation working all the time. But guess what? I don't wanna be that. Like, again, we talked about how our lives have changed from young and driving and how you have kids and family, you know? So, you know, I do think, you know, we struggle even today with like, when do we step away from the business? When do we put it in? So very similar. That's why I love this topic of burnout. It impacts work and your personal life.
Evan, yeah. I want to add something to what you're saying because I experienced the same thing in my house, right? So where you may, and I don't even like to use the word burden because it's not a burden. I think it's more responsibility or choosing to do the things.
Sure.
But like in my house, you know, my wife is, let's call her, she's certainly the primary caretaker, and she's so devoted and dedicated to making sure that my daughter has everything that she needs there. But what happens is if you don't take time for yourself or you don't take time for your relationship, the tank specifically for that is going to get empty. And like one of the biggest, I say, points of contention or conversations that I have with my wife is like, we have to find somebody that we trust that can fill in certain areas here because she's going to get burnt out. And if she's burnt out and I'm burnt out, that's a bad combination to bring to a relationship with two people.
Well, and Mike, did you just face this recently with Dana finally going with her family and doing her thing? So I was like, well, she's finally gone. Like, that's amazing. So talk about that experience.
You can't force anybody to. And I can never tell a mother, don't take care of your kid, you know, or a father, don't take care of your kid. But it was so important to me to spend time with Dana, just the two of us. And I forced it. And I think for the first time since our honeymoon, we went away together. And it was so, and that's like 12 years. And it was so recharging and amazing and reconnecting. And it was like, it was necessary. And I'm so glad that she agreed to do it. And guess what? Everything was fine. We left our kids with my niece, and she is unbelievable. But she can't be there all the time. But to at least provide that time for Dana and I to go and be together was like, I came back a totally new person, and in my house, a totally new person, and my relationship, like, it's so necessary. And I know that my wife also felt the same way. But we have this realization, like you can't not take care of yourself or your relationship. And because you're not going to have enough to give to your kid. It's so important for any caregiver, any family with kids, you need to find help, and there's help out there. You got to find the right help for you. But if you don't, like, you're not doing your child a service, you know?
First off, I just want to say, thank you for sharing and opening up about that, because that was really, what you just said was beautiful. But also what I think we should point out about that was perspective, that you being able to step away helped you gain perspective. I mean, you can tell it in your emotions right now. The reason it's hitting so hard is because you were able to refocus on what matters to you, and you're able to, you know, sometimes things can get cloudy and confusing. And it sounds like when you went on that trip with your wife, you were able to kind of regain this perspective of like what matters and what's important.
100%.
And what's very obvious from what you just said was your relationship with your wife is so important to you. And that sometimes in the craziness of life, sometimes you can kind of lose the focus on that. And
yeah,
for you and for people out there to be able to step away and to regain that, you can tell how much it means to you. And that's really, it's so important. It's so important. And so for you to realize that and then to do something about it is amazing. And the point you made about being able to just kind of just take that step, take that leap, was clearly worth it. 100%. And it's inspiring.
Thank you.
I mean that.
Yeah. And I think you brought up a whole other thing that I didn't think about. Like, we talked about it in one of our earlier episodes about there is a thing in the disability community about people not, you know, getting divorces because of their situation. So Mike, you know, there's another topic that I see. And if you didn't bring that up, it's very powerful. And we're appreciative of you sharing and getting emotional, because
100%.
We want to try to save families and keep them together, because I think the three of us are committed to our families being present. So I think, you know, how do we help parents out that are in that place to just take time for each other? Because it is, you know, you guys have done an amazing job in these last several episodes and starting really explaining your stories and your time, and I appreciate that.
No, Isaac, that's a really good point. I mean, I've seen and heard from a lot of people in our community and outside that the rate of, you know, divorce and stuff like that in our community is higher than the typical rate. And that's because there is a lot of stress and not, you know, and you're forcing me to say stress and burden. I see what you're doing, Isaac. But no, there is a lot of stress, and combined with the burnout, and there's a lot of factors that go into it, puts a lot of pressure on the core people that are caring for individuals who can't really care for themselves. And so I think it's what Mike said is so important.
It's very easy to, like, you focus solely on your kid. Nobody expects to have a child with a disability. And when it's something like Rosie's, you know, or Sydney's, where you, so many unknown things, you immerse yourself in what is this and what do I have to do? And there's so much focus on that. And it's very easy to, like, take focus away from your relationship or take focus away from your other kids. You know what I'm saying? But, like, just because you're not 24 hours a day attending to your disabled child doesn't mean you're not a good parent or you're not a caregiver. There's always a balance, but you can't forget your other relationships. You can't forget the other things that are most important, because if you don't have gas in the tank, you can't give 100% or even 80%. Imagine if you were operating at a 30% on everything that you're doing all the time. You're not giving your best. You're not presenting your best to everything that you need to do. But if you could do things to get yourself from 30 to an 80, that's massive.
Yeah.
That's massive. And I think
self-care. Self-care. Keep that as a point. Isaac, do you want to make a point?
I would love for you to always close us, but I just want to thank you two gentlemen for being, you know, hosts and partners, because it just makes me a better father. And you guys have done a lot, and I appreciate you sharing your stories here. And it means a lot, because I think we're helping people. We know that. And I love to see the emotion, but I'm really proud of you guys, and you guys make me a better father. So thank you.
Also, thank you. I want to know where Mike and his wife went on that trip. We'll talk after the show, because
I want to go there next, man. That sounds amazing.
Anyway, I mean, that's it for Driven by Purpose. What a journey today, guys, huh?
Yeah, great day.
But look, if you're watching this, we appreciate you, you know, like and subscribe, share this, send this to people you know, help us continue to grow the community. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.